Bitcoin bounces back 12%, and is the SEC going to try to classify Ether as a security? Good morning. You're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you're looking to become an expert on all things crypto, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. Today's episode has a wide spectrum of stories, and we're going to start with Bitcoin, which has rebounded in the past 24 hours, despite the fact the ETFs had a third consecutive day of outflows. The SEC has pushed the deadline for VanEck's spot Ether ETF application, and rumors are circling that the SEC are trying to classify Ether as a security. The Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak wins in court against YouTube over a Bitcoin scam. And Coinbase is going to be launching Dogecoin futures, and some believe the reason isn't what the exchange is saying it is. So if you've been listening to the episodes this week, and you should have been, then you'll know yesterday was an important day for United States macroeconomics, and by extension, an important day for Bitcoin. The meeting of the Federal Open Market Committee, or FOMC, was set to give us an indicator on interest rates going forward, and it did. The Federal Reserve has chosen to hold interest rates at current levels and look at cuts later in the year when it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%, according to their press release. So we didn't get a cut on interest rates, but we also didn't get a hike, and Bitcoin reacted positively to this news by steaming back up around 12%. We've seen 24-hour highs of around $68,000, and at the time of recording this, which is 6 a.m. Eastern, we're still around $67,000. So that's great news, but on the other hand, the spot Bitcoin ETFs saw a third consecutive day of outflows yesterday, with Farside estimating around $261 million, having left in total, most of which was the nine ETFs being unable to offset Grayscale's $386 million of outflows. Grayscale has continued to hemorrhage BTC of late, with a record $642 million leaving in a single day earlier this week on the 18th of March. As Jesse Coughlin pointed out yesterday, if Grayscale continue at this pace, they would actually run out of Bitcoin in the next 4 months. Not that I think either of us believe that would happen for a second. If you were anywhere near crypto Twitter yesterday, sorry Elon, I'm never going to say crypto X, then you'll have seen the news and rumors flying around about the SEC and Ethereum. So this is a bit of a double header, and we're going to start with the news. I mean, it's news, but it's not really news. The United States Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, has postponed the decision on the application for a spot Ether ETF by the asset manager VanEck. In the notice yesterday, the SEC extended the time period on the approval or disapproval for the Cboe BZX exchange to list and trade shares of the VanEck Ethereum ETF. So this now takes us to that magic date that Bloomberg's James Seyfarth told us many months ago was the only one that mattered, the 23rd of May. The SEC wrote, "The Commission finds that it is appropriate to designate a longer period within which to issue an order approving or disapproving the proposed rule change so that it has sufficient time to consider the proposed rule change." However, although we knew the deadline was going to be pushed back, the Bloombergian twins that once had a 75% probability of acceptance of the spot Ether ETFs have now replaced that number with extreme skepticism. Seyfarth now believes that the applications with the May 2024 deadlines will ultimately be denied. Eric Balchunas and Seyfarth now have the likelihood at 25% odds of approval by the 23rd of May, and much of this hinges on the fact that the SEC isn't communicating with the fund issuers, which is something we've discussed before. But as I said, this is a double header, and the second head is far uglier. So to introduce a story that's been doing the rounds, I'm drafting in Turner Wright.
Fortune has reported that the SEC has issued subpoenas to several U.S.-based companies in an attempt to classify Ether as a security under its regulatory purview. Now, many lawmakers and legal experts have pointed out that due to the fact that the SEC has already approved ETFs tied to Ether futures, that it would essentially contradict its past actions and put it in conflict with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Just today, Patrick McHenry said that Chair Gary Gensler doesn't get to make it up as he goes along. So we may see some fallout from that in the days to come.
Now, in addition to the conflict of the SEC and the Ether futures, Gensler now has a lot of his own words coming back at him. And there was one video in particular that was doing the rounds yesterday where he says, Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash. Why did I name those four? They're not securities. Later in the video, he adds, 3/4 of the market is probably not securities. So when the report started circulating that the SEC may want to classify Ether as a security, this video was rolled out. However, I do think Gensler can slip these punches. And the way he would do it is that some are saying that ETH became a security when the blockchain transitioned from proof of work to proof of stake consensus mechanism back in 2022. So I think we may again see a Gensler-shaped cat thrown in with the pigeons. And there is a lot riding on this ruling, not just the spot Ether ETF applications. As Turner pointed out in this article, the crypto firm Prometheum, which is one of only a handful of companies to have approval from the US financial regulators as a special purpose broker dealer for digital asset securities, announced last month that it plans to offer institutional custody services for Ether. So many firms are going to need Ether to be classified one way or another, and it looks like it might get messy. The co-founder of Apple, Steve Wozniak, has won in the latest round of a multi-year legal battle against YouTube and its parent company, Google. But firstly, what is this case? Well, in 2020, Wozniak, among several other high-profile people, had their likeness used in scams on hijacked YouTube channels. Wozniak, for example, had his likeness used in a Bitcoin scam that prompted viewers to send and address some Bitcoin and receive double back. With our current knowledge of AI, you might think this sounds too stupid to work, but there's more to it. Also, the likes of Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Michael Dell, and 15 others are also involved in this suit against YouTube after one of the doctored videos went viral. Incidentally, 4 years later, we're seeing almost this exact scam still happening with Michael Saylor. So in 2022, YouTube was absolved of any responsibility when a Santa Clara County Superior Court judge ruled that the companies were protected from liability under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. This protects video streaming platforms from issues with videos posted on the platform, but now that may be in jeopardy. Bloomberg yesterday reported that a San Jose appeals court ruled that YouTube cannot rely on a contentious communications statute to absolve it of liability for a fraud that exploited the Apple co-founder's popularity using a doctored video to scam people. You might think that this is unreasonable given the sheer number of videos and streams that happen on YouTube, but the appeal court judges suggested that both the platform and Google are responsible for materially contributing to the scam by providing verification badges to hijacked YouTube channels. That is, not only did they fail to remove the verification badges when the channels started posting scams, but one was even awarded a verification badge during the scams. Regarding the Bitcoin scam that went viral, Wozniak said, "If YouTube had acted quickly to stop this to a reasonable extent, we would not be here now. YouTube, like Google, seems to rely on algorithms and no special effort requiring custom software was employed quickly in these cases of criminal activity. If a crime is being committed, you must be able to reach humans capable of stopping it. What human would see posts like these and not ban them as criminal immediately?" It's difficult to argue with that, and this case could be seriously impactful to video streaming platforms going forward and hopefully put an end to these crypto scams like we're seeing with Michael Saylor. So I want to end with two meme coin related stories, and one is big and pretty serious, and one is, well, not. Let's start with the serious. The exchange Coinbase is set to launch Dogecoin futures trading products. Coinbase sent 3 letters to the United States Commodity Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, that announced that Coinbase Derivatives plans to launch cash-settled futures contract products for Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, and the most surprising, Dogecoin. Furthermore, Coinbase Derivatives isn't waiting for approval from the CFTC, explaining that they would use the self-certification method and trading will begin as soon as the 1st of April. But why Dogecoin? Coinbase stated, "Dogecoin's enduring popularity and the active community support suggest that it has transcended its origins as a meme to become a staple of the cryptocurrency world." But you see, what makes this interesting isn't the legitimizing of a meme coin, though. It's what many experts are speculating as the true motivation behind this. Bloomberg's James Safar noted that the filings might be a strategic play to block the SEC from classifying any crypto assets as a security if they are based on the same proof-of-work consensus mechanism as Bitcoin. Safar wrote, "This is interesting. Wonder if the SEC objects to these being classified commodities futures versus securities futures. These all forked from Bitcoin, so these are securities claims would be hard to make after spot Bitcoin ETF approvals. Might be why Coinbase chose them. And finally, on a lighter meme coin note, we discussed yesterday that BlackRock has launched its USD Institutional Digital Liquidity Fund for tokenizing assets on Ethereum. I also highlighted that data showed a $100 million USDC deposit. Well, you know what that means? We have the address. And as a result, BlackRock has been bombarded with meme coins and NFTs. There's over $40,000 worth so far, with the two biggest deposits being 500,000 Unsheathing Token, USH, and 10,000 Relio Network Tokens, RIO, which were worth $13,755 and $11,600 respectively. Before you call the move idiotic, the RIO token, which is a real-world asset tokenization coin, pumped 47% after the token was transferred to BlackRock. What an odd and confusing place it is we've come to love. Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. If you have any thoughts on today's stories, please let us know on @Cointelegraph or @RKBags on X. Okay, have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.